Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Janice M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday. It is June 1st, 2017, and this is the 10 a.m. meeting. Well, today we're going to be reading from Chapter 4, We Agnostics, and we're going to read and discuss page 49, the first and second paragraph. Okay, today our readers are, for the 12 steps, Sherry KB, and for the 12 traditions, Mary H. Our readers for the text today will be Sharon H., Marie J., and Sherry KB. Now, our share IDs, that four-digit number for Wednesday, May 31st, 2017. The 10 a.m. meeting is 9996. And Thursday, today, the 7 a.m. meeting for today is 9997. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sherry KB to please read OA's 12 steps.
Good morning, Janice. Good morning, everyone. This is Sherry KB in Northern California. Grateful you're covering compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of this will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and in all our affairs. Okay.
And thank you so much, Sherry KB. I will now ask, please, Mary H., to please read OA's 12 traditions.
Yes, I'd be happy to. I'm Mary H., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
And thank you so much, Mary H. This is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. Now to share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Well, today we're going to resume our study in the Big Book on page 49. Paragraphs are going to be read 1 and 2 and commenting on the both. So now, Sharon H., would you please begin reading?
Thank you, Janice. I want to make sure you can hear me, because when I take it off speaker, I think I can't be heard.
Well, I hear you well.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. This is Sharon H., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. Very grateful to be able to be doing service today. Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the alpha and the omega, the beginning and end of all. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? We who have traveled this dubious path beg you to lay aside prejudice, even against organized religion. We have learned that whatever the human frailties of various faiths may be, those faiths have given purpose and direction to millions. People of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. Actually, we used to have no reasonable conception whatever. We used to amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs and practices when we might have observed that many spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness which we should have sought ourselves. Well, two amazing paragraphs. The beginning, the first one, I believed in God. I was raised in a religion, turned my back on it in my late 20s, and it was very vain of me. I felt that I couldn't rely on God at all. He had let me down, and so we parted ways, and my life went down a dark road as a result of that, but I didn't see that for many years. And so I thought I could do everything myself, and now, by God's grace, God is everything to me. And that's the miracle that has happened as a result of, again, studying this book line by line, paragraph by paragraph, since I began back in July of 2012. And, you know, I have a very distressing circumstance in my life right now with my youngest daughter, who is 49, and in just a really bad space time in her life. And I have this God that I can entrust her to and place her in his loving protective care along with myself, and don't have to eat over it, don't have to drink over it, don't have to indulge in self-pity over it. All of those things are the gifts that I've received as a result of willing to surrender to this amazing God that I don't understand, but I'm so grateful today that he understands me and that I'm willing to be under his care and direction each new day, no matter what that day brings. And I'm so grateful to all of you out on the line. Keep coming back. This program works, and it lays out the directions so clearly and precisely for each and every one of us. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Janice.
And thank you. Yes, thank you so much, Sharon. And yes, you know, just a gentle reminder, when we're off speakerphone, like Sharon just did, it is best for our recording. And I thank you. Okay, now we're going to open up the meeting for people that would like to share on these two paragraphs. Who would like to begin? Marie J.
Rocky.
Rose M.
Marco.
What I have is Marie J. And then I had Rocky, who? What's your first initial?
I. Rocky I.
Rocky I. I heard a gentleman.
Marco.
Marco. Do you have a first initial to your last name?
L. L.
Marco, L. Okay, who else? I'll take a couple.
Wendy
more.
M.
Wendy
Cowan
M. E. Wendy M, and I heard some, I'm not familiar with your names. No.
Talent.
Go ahead. Spell it, please.
T-A-L-Y-N.
Oh, Talon. Okay, and what's your first initial, Talon?
D.
E. All right, let's go with that group because we still have the rest of the meeting. Okay, you're up, Marie J.
Thank you, Janice. This is Marie J., recovered in Colorado, and grateful to be here. Thank you for your service. This was me. I condemned the church for 30 years because of human defects of some of the people in the church, and I had a lot of hatred and self-righteousness, and it really kept me in prison. But I didn't learn that until I got into the program. I talked about their lack of acceptance and intolerance and self-righteousness, all the while I was having those very same character defects. And I took every opportunity to disparage and condemn and gossip about them. And then I get into the program and I realize, you know, as I'm going through the steps, that I'm going to have to make an amend to the church for the 30 years of bad talking them, and I was going to have to find a God, and it was almost unbearable. But I was in my bottom, and I was willing to go to any length, and I knew I had to change on so many fronts. It all started with just the food and the weight, but then I really learned how much pain that I was carrying around in my heart, and I was passing that to my children and my husband, and I really started to learn about my own character defects of superiority and self-righteousness and intolerance, and I learned to tell the truth about the broken side of me, my own human frailties. And then when I got to the seventh step and humility, it's like I didn't even know the definition of the word. I had no understanding of humility. But following the steps and asking God to remove my defects every single day, many times a day, still every day, and building me some tolerance, I also say the sick man's prayer all the time. And when I heard it at first, I thought it was just asking God, you know, to pray for somebody who was sick, you know, somebody that I resented that was sick and it was their thing. But now I pray the sick man's prayer. In the book it says, though we did not like their symptoms, they like us. They like me are sick, like me. And now I say the sick man's prayer, emphasizing I am sick, and let me see my own sickness and my own intolerance. So what I learned here is that we're all on a path, and whatever the frailties of various faiths and people may be, their motives are good, and they've helped many. And my job is to continue to surrender my own shortcomings, my judgment, my intolerance, surrender it just like it says in the seventh step prayer, it says, I pray you now remove every single defect of character which stands in the way of being useful, my usefulness to you and my fellows. And that's my whole job. What stands in the way of being useful to God and my fellows? And learning about tolerance and love of other people whose motives are whatever they are. Thanks, I pass.
And thank you so much, Marie J. Okay, Rocky I, good morning to you. You're up. Rocky? Perhaps she's having some telephone difficulties.
Can I be heard?
Oh, you can be heard now. Yes?
Okay. Good morning. This is Rocky I in Tempe, Arizona, recovered by grace. And the previous share took all my words. I have had the same experience. I met my God in the teenagers, but then I became a young adult and so full of arrogance and pride and got away. And I thought that the harder I got and the harder, you know, but it came to a point where no matter how much I did, things were not working in my life. And now after 34 months of recovery, I can say that I carried a distorted idea of who God was. I had the idea of a five-year-old when my father shot us. And so I had to come to terms when I got to this part of this book, God is or isn't, and that is it, because it's not a diet, it's not a food, it's either God is or God isn't. And today I am so very thankful that God is, that through working the steps and learning the big book, my ego has been reduced, because I used to be like that character from Natural Libre movie, I Believe in Science. And it's nothing wrong, but I didn't, I was just ignorant. And so if there's a newcomer out in the line, and if you are not liking this chapter, if it's feeling easy, just stay. You don't have to believe anything at this point. Just listen and read the chapter and highlight and start there, and you'll be amazed what this book can do. And if you don't find any recovery, you can have your mystery back. We will not hold it. And so I guess with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Rocky I. Okay, good morning, Marco L. Your turn. Star one to unmute.
Hi. In the meantime, I'm sorry, what chapters did you read?
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Could you just tell me what chapters I just came in? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're on page 49, paragraphs 1 and paragraph 2.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Is Marco available? Perhaps he's having a little difficulty. All right, we'll come back to him. How about Wendy M.? Are you ready? Wendy M.
Yes, hi. Wendy M., recovered in Colorado. Great. So I'm going to go ahead here. Wonderful paragraph. And I want to start just with the definition of prejudice. Preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. I love that. That's how I walked through the world. I had preconceived opinions based on nothing, based on no experience whatsoever. And these paragraphs says that they don't ask us to lay aside prejudice. They're begging me. And I love that they're begging me. I need to be begged because I have been prejudiced my entire life up until working these steps right now with Vision and the Big Book. I grew up in a home where the rabbi said God could be anything. So God wasn't a deal for me. The truth of the matter is I grew up in a home without any spirituality whatsoever. But what was more interesting is that it was the sort of liberal, progressive, you know, we love everyone. And that was sort of, that was the lip service. But in fact, if you prayed different than us, if you voted different than us, if you looked different than us, you were not us. And we had to be superior. And absolutely, it was a cynical dissecting of spiritual beliefs. If you believed in something, particularly an organized religion that wasn't Jewish, you were absolutely less than. And here's what this program gives me. It gives me this beautiful insight today. I don't have to trash myself or the family I grew up in. I can just say, thank you, God, that you brought me to this moment right now for me to see that I have preconceived opinions about everything based on no actual experience. I have to laugh. I think that's hilarious. But it's also so freeing to simply read this page. And then it says, rather vain of us, wasn't it? I had no idea I was vain until I read this chapter. I had no idea that I was intolerant, thinking I was tolerant the whole time. This is incredibly freeing. I get to look at my part here, and I get the opportunity to get unblocked because I get to see my behavior, my thinking. And it says right here, to lay aside. They beg me. Thank you, God, that they beg me. And then they say, lay aside. You know, and that set aside prayer that says, set aside everything you think you know about yourself, about other people who aren't like you, about God, about this program, about this book. Lay aside. And when I lay aside, I am free instantly. I am able to be unblocked, and I'm able to be useful to other human beings. And it says here that other people, not me, have that degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness. I love how humbling those words are. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage, and I thank you all for being on the line, and I pass now. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Wendy. And just another gentle reminder, I hear static. You know, I don't know if we're all muted, but we'll just check our phones, please, to *1 to mute. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to have Taylan E. Is that her name, Taylan?
Hi, yeah, this is Taylan. So I was thinking this morning about how everyone's conception of God is so different. I bet if you looked at any two people in program, you just picked out two people and looked inside their mind and looked at what they thought of God, it would be different. No one has the same concept of God. And a concept is just the idea of it. It's so intimately related to the person who created it. So we all have these different concepts of God and different beliefs and feelings. And it made me think about an analogy about a bridge and how there's this bridge and we all drive across it, but we all have different feelings and beliefs about this bridge. Some of us might be really scared and we have a really fearful idea about this bridge. We don't know if it'll hold us up. We don't know what will happen if we drive across it. Some of us have a really strong belief in this bridge and we feel so much peace and no doubt and we know that it'll hold us up. And then some people want to know every detail about this bridge. They want to know the construction and they want to know why it holds us up and how and all the details about it. But what I was thinking is no matter what your belief about this bridge is, no matter what you feel about this bridge, it holds you up and it works. It doesn't matter. And all you have to do is drive across it. You could not believe in it at all, but you drive across it because you see other people going before you and you see that it's the bridge is holding you up And I think it's the same thing with a higher power. It's, you may have a really, really small idea. You may just have like the tiniest little hope that there's a higher power, but it doesn't matter. That's the beginning, and that's all you need to commence growth. And I'm just so thankful for that. You don't have to have this crazy idea or strong belief. You just have to take action from that small point of maybe there's a higher power. It doesn't matter. So I was so excited this morning. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, we can open up the meeting again for anyone that would like to comment. How about you, Marco? Are you available now?
Hi, can
Kathleen,
I be heard?
Marco, is that you?
Yes.
Good. Okay, so you'll be first up, and whom else would like to?
Jody, EQ.
Oh, Jody, EQ. Okay.
Sherry,
KB.
Yes, I'm here.
Who is it? Sherry?
Sherry KB.
Yeah, okay. And we can have a couple
Sherry
more.
Sherry H.
Sherry H. Terry. Terry. Yeah, sure, Terry. That sounds familiar. Anybody else?
Rose M.
All right, let's go with those five. I like to go five. So, Marco L., it's your turn.
Hi, thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. This was me. I was so cynical about religion and about spirituality and about God. I was raised Catholic. I come from a very Catholic family, so I just rebelled from it when I was growing up. I had so much to say, so much negative things to say about religion, just because I was bitter, I guess, bitter from seeing my parents growing up in a loving relationship, and I was just bitter, I guess. So I did not have a relationship with God through my adult life. It wasn't until I hit rock bottom that I naturally said, you know, the only way out I have of this is with God. So I started, I went back to church. I went back to religion, you know, and I did find God, and I did, I remember crying on my knees in church, just begging for him to help me out because I was miserable. And you know, I found God, and it wasn't easy because I found God and I was still praying hard and I was still in the food. And I just thought I just kept praying for God to help me, and I was so miserable, but still I found God waiting for me with open arms, and I was grateful for that. And yet I kept in the food. I couldn't.
I think we lost you, Marco. I'm sorry, but I think we lost you. Maybe you can come back for a couple of minutes. All right, let's have Jody EQ. Please go ahead.
All right, thank you, Janice, and I apologize for not being available before the meeting started to read the traditions. Thank you, Mary H., for covering for me. This is Jody EQ, a grateful compulsive overeater in California. So I'm going to focus on this beginning part that says, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation. So that's what that part of the sentence is telling me, what I can be when I believe. When I believe or try to believe in a power greater than myself and work these steps and turn my will and my life over to the care of God, pray for knowledge of God's will and try to do it each day, I can be an intelligent agent of God. I can be a spearhead of God's ever advancing creation. How cool is that? Wow, I want that. So I'm willing to put the key in the lock. I'm willing to turn it just a little bit to see if this might work, as it has for so many people before me. And I'm so grateful to this group that gives me so many examples of people for whom these steps are working. When I first came to OA, I went to a lot of AA meetings because that seemed to be the only place where I could see these steps really working for people. I didn't see a lot of recovery in my OA meetings at the time. And now I get to see it in compulsive overeaters, and it's so wonderful to see that these steps really work for us compulsive overeaters. And we get to be these intelligent agents, these spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation. Wow. I'm so grateful to be part of this and to be an intelligent agent for God. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
And thank you so much, Jody EQ. Okay. Good morning, Sherry KB. It's your turn.
Good morning, Janice. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB, Northern California, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks for your service. Excuse me. Sorry, been sick. When we talk about we beg you to lay aside your prejudices, and I always love looking up words, and prejudice that I found in the big book called The Little Big Book says that opinions formed without due knowledge or examination, bias, to cause someone to judge prematurely and irrationally, irrational suspicion or hatred of particular group, race, or religion. And, you know, the whole thing to me is that I came in here with a lot of different prejudices, not necessarily religious prejudice, but that my relationship with a power greater than myself. And I had my own prejudice around that, let alone the ones that I grew up with, the ones that I was treated about growing up, which I won't go into. But it's telling me to set aside my prejudices, because if I do, then I'm going to be one of these people at the bottom that says spiritually minded persons of all race, colors, creeds, and I will demonstrate a degree of stability, happiness, usefulness, which should have sought ourselves. And so that's what this book is telling me, is that, pardon me, if I set aside my own prejudices, I will demonstrate usefulness and happiness. And that's what this book has brought me. That's been my experience of going through this book and working the steps. And just a reminder that in the book it also says love, patience, and tolerance is our code, and that we need to set aside not only our own prejudice, but to see where religious people are right. And, you know, that's what I keep thinking about, is love, patience, and tolerance is my code. And I also think about this group of people in the United States who was a family that's very well famous that I won't mention, that I watched people go through tragedy in their life. We all did. And this family had such hope and courage due to their own religion that they walked through so many things that this whole country watched them walk through, and they lived through it. And that's what I always think about when I think of someone who has a strong religious belief, that this particular family walked through so many things. And that was amazing to me, and I've never forgotten that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry KB. Marco, are you back yet? All righty. Let's have Terry H. Please go ahead, Terry.
Hi, thanks. My name is Terry H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Very grateful today. I'm very grateful that I was able to set aside my prejudice and judgments against the different religions around the world and what I believed, you know, God was, and the harsh rules of life and religion and things like that, and just being open and willing to believe in a power greater than myself. You know, I was hopeless and powerless in my disease. And, you know, I was killing myself. And, you know, there was nothing I could do myself to do it. And I was just so grateful that, you know, I was able to work those steps with a recovered person in the program and able to work the 12 steps and have that spiritual experience with no rules and no judgments attached. And, you know, just to be able to create my higher power the way, you know, I wanted to, you know, and just to be able to, you know, have that vision and connection. I'm just so grateful for that, you know, and today in my recovery, I just want to be of maximum service to my higher power, to work each day, because I can't do it. I've tried, I've done it, tried it over and over. And, you know, I just want to be able each day to surrender that over to my higher power and take the action and do what I need to do, do what I can to do to continue that relationship, to continue to grow that relationship each and every day. I want to be of maximum service. Last night I had the opportunity to share my story in a face-to-face meeting, and my prayer was to set aside, you know, everything I need to set aside to be of maximum service in that moment. And, you know, it was a good moment, most definitely, for me in my recovery. It was the first time, you know, I was able to share my story and be vulnerable and be open, and I would have never been able to do that without my higher power holding my hand, kissing me on the head, and saying it will be okay. And for this program, I'm so grateful for that, because today I am not choking in my disease. I'm not dying in my disease. I'm living life on life's terms and letting my higher power guide that. And, you know, I will deal with the prejudices and the judgments as they come up and come along in my 10th step that I'll do each day. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Terry H. Okay, you're up. Rose M., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Rose M. Thank you so much for your service, Janice. When I looked at these two paragraphs, I thought, of course, of my background where I, like a lot of you, I watched people who I grew up with claim to or say with their mouths that they believed one thing and then behaved a different way. And I think that was that was really hard to watch, especially once I started thinking about what my spirituality was. But also when I look at these paragraphs, I think of the people in my life who were good, good people. For example, one woman who I know from my church who was involved in a mom's group really reached out to me after I brought my son home from the hospital, and he had been in the NICU for 5 weeks, and he was still tiny, and I brought home this 4.5-pound baby, and I was in the food and trying to take care of my husband who has a spinal cord injury, and I was losing it. I mean, I was losing it. And, you know, this woman reached out to me, and she had such a calm and a peace about her. And she was so kind to me, and, you know, she let me know, you know, I see your suffering. I see what's happening. What can I do to help you? And, you know, I wanted that. And similarly, when I first started on the call and when I met my sponsor told me her story, how things were for her before she was recovered. I just had this realization that I had been suffering and I didn't know it. And I think in our disorder, in this disorder, we don't know the truth from the false always. And, you know, one of the things that is a problem with that is if you don't know the truth and the false, you don't know you have a disorder, so you're not going to get the help. You're not going to identify the problem. But in hearing all of you who are recovered, who are just so spiritual and calm, and you deal with things in your life and just have such a healthy approach to life, It helped me to realize that I had been sick. I was going to be okay. I just needed to follow the program. And I think that's why 12 steps are so important, just to reach out to the people who are suffering and say, life doesn't have to be this way. you are suffering. You know, you are. I mean, my whole life I thought that what I was going through as a compulsive overeater was normal. I thought my entire life was going to be miserable, and it didn't have to be that way. And that's why I'm so grateful for people who reached out to me, for my sponsor, for all of you who are recovered who share on the line every day. So with that, I pass.
And thank you for your share, Roseanne. Okay, we're going to take another group. Who would like to begin?
Elaine B.
Elaine B. I know that name. Next, anybody else?
Kathleen.
Carolyn F.
I heard of Kathleen, I believe.
Kathleen O.
Oh,
Carolyn F.
Yes.
Carolyn S. Okay, Carolyn. Let's take one more. Let's see. Okay, maybe not. Let's go with that group. Elaine B., it's your turn.
For your service, Janice. I appreciate it. Thank you, anybody who shared. I'm driving. I'm not going to be able to time myself, so please let me know. What great shares I'm hearing today, and what a great passage in the book, because, you know, we learn a little later that we have a spiritual malady, and perhaps our spiritual malady really has nothing to do with the God of our childhood, or even if we had a God we were introduced to through a faith, and we choose an entirely different conception of God, that's okay. We just want an opportunity to allow people to be open, to allow people to say, okay, you know, maybe I'm not the pinnacle. Maybe my, you know, limited understanding and resource and experience, maybe it isn't enough. Maybe I'm not, you know, maybe I don't have all of the answers. Maybe my standing back and criticizing everybody and everything else, maybe I could try another way and just be a little bit open. And, you know, we're not saying that you got to go back, sign up, become a member, attend every service, every time the church or synagogue or mosque or whatever ashram is open. We're not saying any of that at all. It's just, you know, let's explore. Let's explore the idea, the concept of a power greater than ourselves. And if there has been things, experiences we've had in the past, things we've heard other people say that have caused us to slam shut the door on religion, on faith, on religious leaders we've seen, on organized religion that we've experienced, on attitudes and opinions that we've developed, maybe, just maybe, if we lay those down, something new may come forward. And that does have the power, because if we really have taken step one, we realize that we're beyond human aid, and something beyond human power, beyond my power, my understanding, and even the manifestation of religion in different organizations, religious institutions and organizations, you know, that's not enough. It wasn't enough for me. I had to set aside my convictions and be open to something new. And I'll tell you what I found is so much better than the food. I was talking to somebody this morning. It's sort of like trading in a Barbie doll for a daughter, trading in 2 points in my penny in my pocket for a treasure trove, a gold mine that I can, as the big book says, that I can, you know, work in and get something out of for the rest of my life as long as I give it away, which is why I love we have this place where we can share our experience and maybe give away what we've learned, maybe open the door a crack for somebody else so that they can experience some of the things that we've experienced. First of all, abstinence. Second of all, a relationship with the power of the universe that is going to help us, not just with the food, but with everything else. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Janice.
And thank you so much, Elaine B. Okay, Kathleen O., it's your turn.
Good morning. Thank you. This is a great meeting. Thank you, everyone who's been sharing on the line. Great shares. This is Kathleen O., recovered in California. And there's that word prejudice again. You know, there's probably as many unique definitions of God as there are unique mothers and fathers in the world. And who am I to be prejudiced against what other people believe in or think or who they are? That's just so ego-centered. And one of the gifts of this program is that I was able to give up a lot of my ego-centered behavior and be more God-centered. You know, it's basically for me, it's just believing and having faith. You know, I believe that when I turn the light switch on, I'm going to get lights and that my electricity is going to work when I plug things in. And I don't know how it works, but it does. And so I use electricity and I like electricity. But the difference between my higher power and electricity is during stormy weather, the electricity can go out, but my higher power never goes away. And it's always there when I need my higher power. You know, it's so helpful for me when fear comes up, because can't have fear and faith at the same time. And so I have faith and my fears are, they pretty much go away, and I can just wait and ask for direction when I'm, you know, not knowing what decisions I should be making, or I'm troubled or annoyed. I can just take it to God. I can take it to my higher power and just continue to, you know, be a service and do what, you know, do what my higher power created me to be, which is kind and loving and patient and tolerant. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Okay, Carolyn S., it's your turn. Good morning.
Hi, this is Carolyn S., a recovering compulsive overeater in New York. This is a great couple of paragraphs. And I did grow up with a lot of prejudice against religion, assuming that people who were religious were somehow suckers, that, you know, they believed in this set of rules to keep them in line while they were on the planet, and then to give them reassurance that if they were good and followed the rules now, that they would get some sort of reward afterlife. And, you know, I was on this icy intellectual mountain, and the reality was that I was treating myself. And it talks here about begging you to lay aside prejudice, even against organized religion. I needed to be begged. I needed to really think about this and realize that there were so many people who were religious who had so much to offer and who are so calm and peaceful. And it talks about here, we might have observed that many spiritually minded people of all races, creeds, or colors and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness, which we should have sought ourselves. Again, these people they have what I want. And it doesn't mean that I have to join an organized religion and follow all the rules, a lot of which I don't agree with. What it means is that I have to open myself to a spiritual experience and be willing to believe that there's something greater than myself, which I've always known, but to also believe that something greater could help me in every aspect of my life, even something as seemingly minor as my food. My God is huge, and he can handle famine and war and disease and what I put in my mouth. There's no limitations to his power, and that is incredibly comforting to me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn S. I think we can have one more. Just confirm that I think we close at 10:50. So who would like to wrap it up?
Deborah T.
Okay, go ahead, Deborah. Just a moment. Yeah, okay, we have to close at 10:50. Sorry about that, Deborah. Go ahead,
Go ahead, okay. Hi, Deborah P., compulsive overeater. Great to be here today. And this really speaks to me. I really appreciate everyone's share. I definitely was prejudiced. I had a very specific God that I served that was very powerful. And frankly, I didn't think I needed anyone else. I only needed my higher power. And it didn't work, you know. So I think, you know, part of the magic of this program, if you will, is seeing all these, you know, because our idea of God is so, so important. It's so integral to who we are. And I never have seen in my life all these people coming together from all these different faiths and sort of just loving each other. You know, it's just sort of beautiful. And I, you know, I see God in that. I see God in when everyone is sharing. It's just, I don't know. So I have learned, and I to be honest, it still sometimes holds me back to walk this walk. And I think, well, I don't need the program. I only need my God. But the more I listen, the more I participate, the more I do the steps, I see God in all of it. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah P. Janice, do you want us to press star one?
Thank you so much, Deborah P., and thank you, Melanie, and thank everyone who shared this morning. Let me thank, oh my goodness, okay, Nancy T., Jody E. Q., Sharon H., and Marie J., and Sherry KB, I'm a little mixed up. Please join us for, no, we don't even have another meeting. Will Marie J., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks. This is Marie J., recovered in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and